Remember last Sunday, we were talking about Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 18, which reads, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess." Do not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled. Now, if you look at the construct of this sentence, this is a directive. This is an order. It is a command. Be filled. It is not a nice to have or a nice to do. No, no, no. This is a directive. It is a command. It is an order that we must be filled with the Spirit. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit, and not only be filled with the Holy Spirit, but we must continue being filled. Be filled, that's the idea. Be filled, the idea of Ephesians 5 and 18. Be filled with the Spirit and continue being filled. It's not being filled and then get depleted and then you are dry again. No, no, no. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and continue being filled. That means our relationship with the Holy Spirit, it is always and forever. Our relationship with the Holy Spirit is always and forever. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit and stay filled. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit and stay full. It's a mouthful what I just said. It really requires time for us to unpack it. To say, because that's another message. Today we are looking at how to be filled. But I guess another message would be how to stay filled. How to continue being filled with the Holy Spirit. So how do we get filled with the Holy Spirit? I'll be sharing some things, but this is by no means prescriptive. You know, when you see a message that begins with how, right? This is by no means prescriptive. No. Why is this not prescriptive? It is because God is sovereign. You can't be prescriptive when it comes to God because God is sovereign. What does that mean? It means God, he can do whatever he wants. You can tell people one thing, but you see, you cannot box the one who's sovereign. God, he can do whatever he wants, anytime that he wants, anywhere that he wants, however he wants. Can you see that? This is why how to be filled or how to get filled with the Holy Spirit today, it cannot be prescriptive. All right, but yet we can look at scriptural pattern. We can look at scriptural pattern, right? But you cannot box God with what is there because he is sovereign. Our main scripture for today is John chapter number 7. Our main scripture, this is going to be our main scripture for the message today. John chapter number 7, verses 37 to 38. Now the Bible says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So how do we get filled with the Holy Spirit? Point number one is this in this scripture. Be thirsty. Be thirsty. God does not fill the fool. God does not fill the fool. God does not fill those that do not desire it. Be thirsty. We must be thirsty in order for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, for the Lord to fill us with the Holy Spirit. We have to be thirsty. It is something that we have to want. And we have to want it serious enough. All right? Thirst speaks of a desire. If you desire it, you desire it. And if you don't desire it, you don't desire it. This is the thing that Paul was saying. Desire the gifts of the Spirit. Desire. Not everyone desires it. Why did he say desire? Because he knew that not everyone desires. Even this issue of being filled with the Holy Spirit, this issue of the baptism with the Holy Spirit, it does not automatically, naturally means that everybody wants it. Who is a believer? No, but the Lord says one of the keys for us to receive the infilling with the Holy Spirit, it is a sincere, earnest desire. Be thirsty. All right, be thirsty. This is a deep desire in our spirit and in our soul. You see how it is according to the individual. It's according to you. If you really want it, it's something that is embedded so deep in your spirit and your soul. And God who sees all things. I say God who sees all things. He will come upon you, my friend, like floods of water. God who sees everything. Isaiah chapter number 44 and verse number 3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. Underline that word, pour. All right? This you're talking about rivers of living water. Rivers to pour out. Pour does not mean a little measure or a cup full. No, no, no. This is pouring out. Rivers. Floods, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. Now it says, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offering. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it is a blessing that comes from God. It is a blessing. You see, there is a blessing of blessings. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the infilling with the Holy Spirit, the coming upon of the Holy Spirit upon a believer, it is a blessing of blessings. This is a blessing above all blessings you can ever receive from God. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offering. Isaiah 55 and verse number 1, amplified. Now he says, Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. It's open to everyone. It is by grace, it's a gift. All right? And this is the requirement that you thirst. This is a buffet. It requires only a thirst. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Friends, there is a thing about thirst or about hunger. The thing about thirst or about hunger is that it drives you. Do you know that when you are thirsty, that thirst will drive you? It will cause you to do things in order to pacify, to satisfy, to fulfill that thirst. It drives you. It drives you to the right place where you can be satisfied. Oh, hallelujah. What does this mean? Those who thirst for water, they will seek and find water. It depends on what you are thirsting for. All right? Now, what does this mean? If I thirst for water and I get to a place where there is no water, but there is alcohol, will my thirst be quenched? This is the reason why. If you are truly thirsting and hungering for God and you end up in a church that really does not have the Holy Spirit, it is impossible for you to stay in that place, because how would you know it is not the right place? That thirst, that hunger will not be satisfied. Now it's a wonder how some of us, we end up at wrong churches and we stay there for far too long. It means you got attracted to that which appeals to the thirst in you. It is the thirst, the hunger. It is the thirst, the hunger that is in you. Those who thirst for the baptism with the Holy Spirit, those who thirst for the baptism with the Holy Spirit, they will seek and find it. Why? They will not stop seeking until they find it. Why? Because the thirst is not quenched. The thirst is still there. Now the question is this today: what are you thirsty for? Because the church that you end up at and you end up settling, that means that church answers to the thirst that is within you. That church answers to the hunger. When you have found God, not that God is missing, not that God is lost, but when you have found God, you will know what you have found. You'll know, I've really found, I'm okay. Here, I'm settling. I have found what I've been looking for. But it's a pity when we are looking for something that we don't even know what we are looking for. I'm talking to somebody. When there is a hunger, a thirst for God in our spirit, nothing can satisfy that hunger, that thirst, until we find what we are thirsty for. What we hunger for. This is to say that just because the church is at the corner from your house, it does not make it the right church. Just because the church is at the corner of your house. No. The church answers to the thirst or the hunger that is in you. The church that you decide to go to or you decide to settle in. Can you see that? Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 6. Blessed are they with which do hunger and thirst. Oh my goodness, God says these are blessed. This is a blessing to hunger and to thirst after righteousness. What are you thirsty for? What are you hungry for? If I'm thirsty for righteousness, if I'm hungry for righteousness, when I meet with unrighteousness, I know I have met with unrighteousness because my thirst, my hunger for righteousness will not be satisfied. Will not be satisfied. To hunger and to thirst for the Spirit or for the things of the Spirit means far much more than just to desire it. To hunger, to thirst for the Holy Spirit, to hunger, to thirst for the things of the Spirit means far much more than just to desire. We need to act. We need to act on our desire. We need to act on our desire. We need to put action to our desire. We need to do something. It's not enough just to thirst. It's not enough just to hunger. It's not enough just to desire. But what do you do with the desire? We have to act on it. We have to put action to it. Hallelujah. Now this leads us to our point number two. What is point number two? What is point number one? Be thirsty. How to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Number one is? Be thirsty. What is our key scripture for today? Now he says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. Let him do what?
Come.
Let him do what?
Come.
Number two is come. Number one, thirst. Number two, come. Come. What does that mean? Act on your desire. Do something. Act on your desire. Put action on your desire. It means take the initiative. Do something about it. Take the initiative. To come, it means to seek him. Seek him. All right? You seek him. He's the one who has promised. He's the one who has the promise. He's the one who has given it. Now we have to seek him. All right? When we seek him, then he gives. Now he says, come. Come, friends. God has made the gift, the blessing available to us, but God will not drag us to it. God has made the gift available to us. He has made the blessing available to us, but he will not force it on us. We are talking about the baptism with the Holy Spirit, which according to Joel, Prophet Joel chapter number 2, which we know so well, is unto all of us. All right, but the fact that God has given it to us, it does not mean that God is going to force it on us. It does not mean that God is going to drag it. Or rather, he's going to drag us to it. The Bible says, he who thirsts, let him come. You must be willing. Come. Not forced. No, come. Come. Not forced. Be willing. I desire this. There is a desire in me. There is a thirst. I desire. Oh my goodness, I don't know what is happening. I desire this infilling. I desire this baptism. I desire the rivers out of my belly. The Bible says shall come rivers. Oh my goodness, I'm desiring this. You see, willingly you come. Willingly you come. This is why There is no church program, there is no church service that can promise you an infilling with the Holy Spirit. Because there is no church that baptizes with the Holy Spirit. We must be what? Willing. We must be willing. Now, this takes us to point number three. But let's read the scriptures. It says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. Jesus. Yes. Your church cannot offer you the infilling with the Holy Spirit. Your minister, your prophet, your pastor, they cannot offer. Jesus says, come unto me. Not unto Bethesda Fire Ministries. No. He said, come unto me. Come unto me. Let him come unto me. So point number three is this. Jesus is the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. Ni yo pastor ni yo dominini. No. But Jesus is the baptizer. That's point number three. How to get filled with the Holy Spirit? You have to know who's the baptizer. You have to know who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. John says, and when he comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He says, I baptize you with water. Man can baptize you with water. Church can baptize you with water. But church cannot baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Your pastor cannot baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because there is one, only one baptizer with the Holy Spirit, Jesus. That's why he says, come unto me. Seek me diligently, sincerely, honestly, genuinely from your heart, and the blessing is for you. Hey, the blessing is for you, church. Oh, hallelujah. So we ought to go to Jesus and we shall be filled. He has promised. Oh, my goodness, scripture shall be fulfilled. We must go to Jesus. We ought to go to him and we shall be filled. Hallelujah. If we seek for him, we shall find him. The Bible has promised. If we seek for him genuinely out of our hearts, we will find what we're looking for. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes, underline comes, for he who comes to God. For he who comes to God must believe that God is. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God, please underline, he who comes to. Don't miss that. Instead of going around and looking for places, look for God. Instead of going around searching for places, look for God. Instead of going to different various places, go to God. You know, some of us have been to many churches. Some of us, we've actually exhausted the churches in our region, exhausted the churches in our province. We've exhausted the churches in our country. We've been to every church, but we've never been to God. Some of us, we've been to every church. We've been to every so-called prophet. We've been to every so-called apostle. We've been to every whoever. Even some of them are not so-called. Some of them are really real. We've been to them. We've been to their ministries. We've been to their services. We've been to their conferences. We've been to their meetings. We've been to their whatever. But we have never been to God. This is the reason why until now we remain dry, we remain thirsty, we remain hungry. We have never been to the one who satisfies. We've been everywhere, we've been to everyone, but we've never been to the one who satisfies. I say we've been everywhere, we've been to everyone, but we have never been to the one who really satisfies. Oh, my goodness. Point number four today, it says, point number four, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Point number four is drink. Point number four is what? Partake. Get involved, church. This is key. One of the key reasons why a lot of genuine believers, authentic genuine believers, is that they don't drink. They come to church, but they do not participate. It didn't say, let him who is thirsty come unto me. That's it. And shall be filled. Or rivers. Or, no. There's drinking in it. That means take part, participate, get involved, take part, participate. This is a baptism it's talking about. That means you have to throw yourself in, you have to dive in. Twila. Submerge yourself. If you don't submerge yourself, you're going to come out very dry. Even though you're in such a rich atmosphere and environment where God was willing to do that which you desire, but because you did not drink, your mouth was zipped from one end to the next. Even though you've been not just to the river, you have been to rivers, but you remain thirsty. You did not drink. Not drink. A lot of people, when there's a move of the Spirit in the church, they don't participate. When there's worship, they don't participate. When there's prayer, they don't participate. When there is teaching, they don't participate. When there is anything that has been done in the church, in the service, because if it's in the service, that means everything is important in the service, but they do not participate. They do not drink. As a result, they spectate. They look at others, but they themselves remain dry. Like water off a duck's back, as it were. The duck can climb, can dive into the water. But you know what the duck will do? It'll come out nice and dry. It'll just shake off the excess water. And it remains as dry as before. A lot of us are like that. Hallelujah. We are like that. We don't open our mouth and drink. Friends, God will not open your mouth for you. I say, God will not open your mouth for you. God brings us to the water, but it is up to us to drink. Please write that down. God brings us to the water, but it is up to us, not up to God, to drink. God cannot bring you to the water and then you say, Lord, please open my mouth to drink. No. Ours is to say, Lord, bring me to the water. Bring me to the waters. He who thirsts, Isaiah 55, he who thirst, let him come to the waters. Now that's God's part. God will bring you to the waters, but he will not open your mouth for you to drink. But God will bring you to the waters by his grace, by his providence. He will bring us to the waters, but he will not open our mouths to drink. Hallelujah. A lot of us, we are self-conscious in the church. We are self-conscious in the gathering, in the coming together, in the convocation of believers. We become very conscious. As a result, we become just spectators. We become journalists that are taking down points, who are reporting on what happened, what took place. When we meet again, we are talking about what took place, but we did not partake. We only talk about what took place, but we did not. Please drink. This is where the devil hits most believers. They don't drink. They are there. They can see people falling left, right, and center. Not that falling means anything. But I'm just saying, they are where God is working. They are where the Lord is. This is why the Lord Jesus Christ said, the power to heal. Oh my goodness. The power to heal is here. The Bible says the power to heal was there, but he could not. Can you see that? Why? Because God can bring, and God does bring, but God cannot drag you to it. God cannot force it on you. God will not force it on you. God will not force it on you. This is why we're saying that we have to take the initiative. This is why we're saying that we have to put action to it. We have to put action. We have to do. This is what it is. That's why we're talking about the infilling, the baptism with the Holy Spirit. It is a provision that God has made. Now our part is to receive. But God will not force anyone to receive if they don't want to receive. The receive is our part. I said the receive is our part. I said the receive is our part. We can have all the knowledge of what God has given, the blessings that God has given, the provisions that God has made available to us. We can have all the knowledge, and accurate for that matter, but still not partake. Because we're not receiving. Because we're not receiving. We can talk about giving an offering as much as we want, as long as we want, but we will never know until we actually do the giving, and actually do the giving the way the giving ought to be done. Whew. I say, until we actually do the giving in the way and the manner in the which the giving is supposed to be done. To drink or to take part of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it is an act of faith. It is an act of faith, which leads us to point number 5. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Point number 5 is this: believe. He that believes. Can you see that? He that. No. That has got no name of the church you belong to. That has got no name of the minister that you submit to. He that believes. This has got no name of the version of the Bible that you are reading. Whether King James or New King James or NLT or NIV or BSB, whatever. It's only he. We are looking at the conditionalities as given to us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As given to us by the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. There is only one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Now it tells us how and who does he baptize. Can you see that? He's telling us how he baptizes and who does he baptize. He that believes on him. You have to believe the one who baptizes. Not believe your pastor. When my pastor lays my hand, because my pastor is such a great man of God, I'll receive the baptism. Because my pastor has got churches all over the world, I will receive the baptism. No, you've missed it. No, believe Jesus. Believe Jesus, the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Can I say this? You know this John chapter number 7, verses 38. Is all you need if your heart is right with God. You don't need 5-hour teaching. You don't need to go to different teachings and begin to dissect them and say which is right to which is wrong. You don't need to go to bookshops and begin to look for books on the subject. The Word of God is, there's no book greater than the Word of God, than the Bible. If your heart is right, this is it. This is it. Oh, hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, say, believe. Tell another, say, believe. 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 Faith is a doing word. Faith is active. Faith is a verb. Now, when he says come, you really have to do it. Because faith is a verb, a doing action. This is why I was saying earlier on, many of us, we have knowledge without results. Why? No action. We don't act it. Faith is active. Faith is a doing word. Here's what faith is not. Faith is not dormant. Faith is not passive. You know, those who don't take part. No. That's not faith, because faith is not passive. Faith is not indifferent. Faith dives in. Faith partakes. Faith participates. Faith is not indifferent. Faith is not passive. Faith is not dormant. Faith is active. Faith does. Faith moves. Faith acts. Let him come. Movement. Let him come to me and drink. That's action. Faith does. Can you see that? He who believes, the Bible says, comes. Oh, he who believes, action comes. Faith is always accompanied by action for it to be faith. Otherwise, it is dead. Otherwise, it is dead. Otherwise, it is not faith. The last point for today. Oh, glory to God. Luke 11 and verse number 13. Luke 11 and verse number 13. Now it says, if ye then being evil, are we there, all of us? Yes. 11, 13, Luke. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that what? To them that does what? To them that ask. Who? They ask who? No, we ask our pastors. Pastor, I want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. We're asking the wrong person. Oh, come on, church. We ask our pastors. Oh, man of God, oh, woman of God, baptize me with the Holy Spirit. What level and manner of ignorance? Man does not baptize with the Holy Spirit. No church does. The TPT says, how much more will the perfect Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit's fullness when his children ask him? The Holy Spirit's fullness. Is it possible to receive the Holy Spirit in full measure? You ask a good question. Yes, and only God can do it. This is the reason why he is the only one who's the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. Because only God can do it. It's impossible. It's impossible with men. Can you see that? It's impossible with men. No, it's impossible with men, but there is one who can give the fullness. There is one who can give the fullness. And who does he give the fullness to? He gives the fullness to those that are thirsty. He gives the fullness to those that come. He gives the fullness to those that come unto him. He gives the fullness to those who drink. He gives the fullness to those who believe. And now we are learning that he gives the fullness when to those that ask. There is nothing wrong seeking God for the baptism. It is the right thing to do. There is nothing wrong praying to God, asking God if that's what you desire. In fact, this is what we ought to be doing. We are being obedient to the scriptures because the scriptures say, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. The problem is this, for such things we begin to look unto men and not look unto God for misunderstanding the scriptures. And when we misunderstand, we receive misunderstanding. You cannot receive the right thing when you misunderstand. The Amplified Version says, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask and continue to ask him? I love that. Why do they continue to ask? As long as they haven't received, they won't stop asking. As long as they haven't received, they will not stop seeking. And who are they seeking? They're not seeking the baptism. They are seeking the giver of the baptism. They ask for the baptism from the giver of the baptism. What is point number six, by the way? Ask. What is point number six? Ask. What is point number six? Ask. James 1, 5 through 8, which we know so well. Ask. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit's fullness to those who ask and continue to ask? To those who do what? Ask. And continue? Ask. If any of you lack wisdom, that's James 1, 5 through 8. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask of men. Let him ask of the pastor. Let him ask of the bishop. Let him ask of the elder. Of course not. No, let him ask of God. God who gives to all liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given. It shall. When we know that when we ask from the right source, it shall be given. Can I see that? When we do what? From the verse number 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, nothing doubting. When you begin to ask for this, nothing doubting, asking in faith, for he that wavers, for he that doubts, is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that person, let not that man, let not that Christian, let not that believer think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Let not that person think they will receive. No. Even if you're authentically, genuinely a Christian born again, but unless you believe. Unless you believe. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Because a double-minded person, a double-minded man, is unstable in all his ways. God has got nothing to do with the doubter. God has got no business to do with the doubter. He's got no business. He's got no business, none whatsoever. He's got no business. Listen, the spiritual, it is a whole different sphere altogether. It is its own sphere, just as we have the natural physical sphere. The natural physical sphere is guided by principles. So is the spiritual sphere. There are principles. When there is doubt, nothing happens. There are principles. There's nothing you can do about it. That's why he says, let not that man think that he will receive anything of the Lord. Friends, the Bible says we must ask, but we must ask in faith. And we do know that God answers faith. And we do know that faith attracts God. Faith attracts God's attention. Attracts God's attention. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? Did it say how much more your Heavenly Father will give a Harley Davidson? Did it say how much more your Heavenly Father will give an Airbus and a private jet? No, but the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. Just by asking. He didn't say by fasting. Oh, cross carrier. He didn't say by fasting. There's nothing wrong with fasting. You fast, of course. The man called Cornelius. The Bible says he was fasting and he was praying. And what did Cornelius receive? Salvation and the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Fasting and praying. Can you see? And here's this man, Cornelius. He put action. You see, this man was so hungry for God. He put action. He put action to his desire. He put action to his intention. The Bible says, and when Peter comes, he says, Peter, 4 days ago, I had been fasting and I had been praying, sir, until this time. And the Bible says, while Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. Why? Because this man, he didn't just have faith. He didn't just have a desire, but he began to put action to it. How do we know? Because he fasted and prayed. What did he do? What did he do? Desire by desire itself will not amount to anything. Let him come. Cornelius began to take steps. He began to make movement in the spirit. Let him come, movement in the spirit. Let him come, movement in the spirit. Faith is a movement towards God. Faith is a movement. Oh, Church of Jesus Christ. Let's recap. Let's look at the summary today of what we have learned so far. This is beautiful beyond measure for me. Baptism with the Holy Spirit. Yes. Baptism with the Holy Spirit. He's still waiting to fall on a lot of us. Yes. I say he's still hovering above. He's still waiting to fall. He's still hovering over. I say he's still hovering over. I say he's still hovering over. Can I ask you something? I just put down 6 conditionalities which are not prescriptive. Why are they not prescriptive? Because God is sovereign. He does what he wants, whichever way he wants. So you cannot box him. That's why it's not prescriptive. But here's the thing. There's 6 points that we can look at. Is there anyone who doesn't qualify? Is there anyone who cannot do them? No one can say I can't. Ever. Why? It's free. Says, come without money. Come. It's a gift. It's by grace. It's been already paid for. It's like someone giving you an all expenses, offering you an all expenses paid trip. And say, here's a ticket. Here's everything. Now, here's a thing. Oh, my goodness. I can give you the ticket. All expenses paid to the Bahamas. I give it to you. Guess what? I've done my part. God has done his part. Your part is waiting. No, he's got the ticket and he's sitting. He's watching television. He's got it. He's sitting. There's no airport by his yard, but he's sitting here. He's not getting ready to go. until this man gets to where the plane is, because the plane cannot come to him. Now, this is what we're talking about. God has already done his part. Now he says, come. Now this man's part is to go to the airport. Whether he goes to LR, he goes to Lanseria, he goes to Tedderfield, that's his choice. Can you see that? That's what we talk about, baptism with the Holy Spirit. God has done his part, but your part, my part. Grace does not open your mouth and feed you. No, no, grace makes available. Grace doesn't open your mouth and feed you. No. Grace, by the grace of God, it is free, unmerited. It's already there. But our part, receive. Some of us are so spiritually lazy that we can't even receive because we're just lazy to receive. That's why we want to go to places, I receive, I receive. We want to go everywhere, I receive, I receive. Receiving what exactly? Receiving what exactly? Point number one that we looked at today is thirst. That means desire. Desire it. How to get filled with the Holy Spirit? You must desire it. Number two, the Bible says come. That means seek God genuinely, sincerely, diligently. Come unto me. Christ says, come unto me. Seek him. Seek him genuinely, sincerely, diligently from the heart. This one, you don't need anyone here to come. To seek him, it's on your own. What you do with the word you receive is up to you. It's got nothing to do with the church that you're in. Mm-mm. It's up to your own diligence. It's up to your what? It's up to your what? You are taught the word of God today. What to do with the word of God the whole week, it's up to your own diligence. Either you do something with it or you do nothing with it. You see, that part is up to you. This is how God is. The grace of God has made it available. Has made it available. And point number three, we learned Jesus is the baptizer. He's the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. So we must seek and come to Jesus. Let's go unto him. Oh, Lord Jesus, this is me. Peter, Wamusia, the third, Lord. Can you see that? You go to him. He's the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. Point number four is drink. What does drink mean? Participate. Don't be aloof. Don't be uninvolved. Do not be different. Do not close your mouth where others have opened their mouths so wide and they are being satisfied while you remain dry and parched. Are we there, friends? We have to drink. Number five, point number five is what, friends? Believe. It takes faith to receive anything from God. Don't forget that. Anything, whatever it is, whatever, it takes faith. Without faith, let not that man think that he will receive anything of the Lord. Without faith, it takes faith to receive anything from God. It takes faith. To receive a piece of bread from God. It takes the same faith to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit. It takes the same faith to pray for the sick to be healed. It takes the same faith to believe God to raise the dead. Same faith. Same faith. God understands the language of faith. God understands the faith language. And faith has got action to it. Faith is not dead. Faith is not passive, church. Faith is not passive. Faith is not passive. What does passive mean? Passive means you are present but absent. Can you see what passive means? You are present but... You're present, but you're absent. You're passive. You're indifferent. You're dormant. You're dormant. The thing is, when you come to church, you must be open. But obviously, make sure it's the right church. They say you must be open in the spirit. That's how you open yourself. When you come to church, you must be open. You pray from home. It's a thing that you pray about in the week and say, Lord, I am open. I know, Lord, that you when we come together as believers, you are always in our midst. I don't want to miss this rare opportunity, because it means when we come together as believers in your name, Lord, it is a rare opportunity. I don't want to miss this rare opportunity. Lord, I open myself. Whatever you need to do, Lord, do it in me. I am open for you. I am open. I'm ready to receive. Now, what are you doing? You make yourself available to God. Some of us, in the presence of God, we are unavailable to God who is present. We're unavailable. Unavailable to God who is present. God is there, he's present, but we're unavailable. So when we pray such a prayer, we make ourselves available. Say, Yere, whatever the word of God, whatever the word you're going to give today, I know there's a word every Sunday when we go to church. Lord, there is a word. Father, I open myself. I pray by the grace that anything that will come to block this word, any stumbling block, I refuse right now. Every stumbling block right now, I command it to go in the name of Jesus. There is nothing that is going to stand between me and the word. As I'm going to church this Sunday, I decree and I declare that this is my Sunday, that God will do, that God will fulfill everything that God will promise this Sunday. I am the right ground. I am the fertile ground. I am the fallow ground. I will receive and I will grow and I will bear fruit. Now this one, uchumile mabone. D.E.N. is woke in the spirit. But the passive ones, every Sunday they drag themselves. Oh, it's Sunday today. Let's go to church. Hey, it's church. Are you ready? Hey, it's cold today, but we're going to church. You see, present but absent. No expectation. Oh, no, we're just going to mark the register. You know, God will know that we came today. During the week, Vava say, "Ag was by the kerk da, so. How was it?" "No, no, the fire, the pastor was on fire." Present but absent. This is why, this is the reason, dies de riede, that we began the 12 o'clock on Saturday. Because there's too much passivity. To get ourselves readied, prepared, stirred up in the spirit for the service. Not just to pray for those that are coming, but to get ourselves stirred up, prepared for the service. You come to the service without expecting anything, you're going to live without. You come to the service not expecting anything, you're going to live with nothing. You just came. We talk about the previous, was it last Sunday when we were talking about routine? Familiarity. Remind God of his word. Father, you said, where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in their midst. I believe that as we gather this Sunday, according to your word, you are going to be in our midst. Now, Lord, I don't want to become familiar with your presence. Now you begin to give your request to God and begin to supplicate for the likes of figs. Say, Lord, there's one Swati girl that I love. Even her, oh Lord, let there be no familiarity in your presence. Can you see what I'm talking about? This is why we pray at midnight on Sunday mornings. Because we are stirring up an expectancy, a spirit of expectancy. I don't want to be the same. Lord, my mind may not understand, because God, the faith does not go walk by sight. No, faith is not sight. I may not understand. Some of us, we come to church because physically we didn't see anything happening. Then we said, nothing happened. If we didn't fall, nothing happened. If we didn't feel the heat, nothing happened. If we didn't feel the tingling, nothing happened. Ah, you walk by sight. And without faith, no one can receive anything from God. Walk by sight. Can I tell you something? For God to make you a multi-billionaire, you may not feel anything. You may not sense anything. You may not feel anything. You may not sense anything. But there would be that still, tiny, small voice in your spirit that nobody hears, and that even you can easily ignore, when God says, I'm going to make you this. That's enough. It's done. Thank you, babe. It's done. It's done. It's finished. Does not mean that there is anything wrong with the electricity that we feel. God manifests, God is sovereign. Does not mean that there's anything wrong with the heat that we feel. Does not mean that there is anything wrong when we fall, when we do this, when we do that. It does not mean that. Does not mean that there is anything wrong when we speak in tongues, when we're in the spirit. Does not mean that. Does not mean that. That when we're in the spirit, we break out into a new song. It does not mean that. No, 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 no. But it's not the sight. What is point number six? Ask without doubting, and you shall receive. Ask without doubting, and you shall receive. Let's clap hands of Jesus.